You know, even in the midst of tragedies, even in the midst of the darkest experiences of humanity, of time, of our individual lives, there is always light. There is always hope. There is always faith. There is always some source of inspiration. You know that? Yeah. So I want to start with a story that's a difficult story, but I promise you we'll get to the light quickly. I'd like to begin by remembering a few people. Naomi Rose Ebersol, age 7. Anna Mae Stolzfus, age 12. Marion Fisher, age 13. Mary Liz Miller, age 8, and her little sister Lena Miller, age 7. Charles Carl Roberts IV, an adult. These people lost their lives on October 2nd in 2006. It was in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, when Charles Carl Roberts IV entered an Amish one-room schoolhouse, dismissed the boys and the teachers, and opened fire. He was mad at God for taking his own little girl. So he shot 5 of those girls and killed them, injured another 5, and then killed himself. Roberts was not Amish, but the local Amish knew him as the milk delivery truck man. The milk truck delivery man. Yeah, that's the way we say that. The children in the schoolhouse had most likely never seen a violent movie or a violent TV program or a violent video game. There have been very few murders in the history of Amish world, and that was the first time there was ever a school massacre. In Nickel Mines, the telephones were placed outside the homes so as not to disrupt family life. And so that day, the telephone shanties were abuzz. And through that process, 370 Amish communities across the U.S. and Ontario, Canada, were immediately notified. One Amish man observed that the Amish grapevine is faster than the internet. And like Unity, the Amish do their best to follow the teachings of Jesus. They draw upon scripture for strength and guidance to know what to do. The Lord's Prayer is one of those bedrocks for them. And one particular line, of course, stood out that day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And a scripture from Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. And finally, the pithy, wise words of Jesus, love your enemies. The grieving Amish families made up half of the 75 people that showed up for the funeral of Charles Roberts, the man who had just murdered their children. Not only did they show up, but they hugged his family members, they offered their condolences, and they contributed to a fund for his family. Forgiveness was suddenly the headline. You know, all religions teach forgiveness, right? But it isn't until we experience it, till we behold it, that we recognize what profound healing power it has. And so it was through that process, after the reporters had stayed all week, that the headlines shifted from tragic shooting to Amish forgiveness and rippled throughout the world. 2,900 news stories at the time, 534,000 websites, Amish forgiveness was everywhere. And as a community, the Amish banded together and stood firm in their faith and their spiritual practice, knowing that we do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against others, but instead we love our neighbors, even love our enemies. And not just talk about it, but really walk it, embody it, live it, demonstrate it for all of us. We were at that time, and as we hear the story again, perhaps, collectively, we were pretty enthralled with this. Mystified, maybe, a little bit too. I mean, how could, the questions began to arise around the world, right? How could you forgive the seemingly unforgivable? How could you, when you're in the midst of your own deep pain from losing your children and your neighbor's children and your family, extended family's children, how could you reach out so quickly and forgive with such immediacy and purity and authenticity? I mean, we know forgiveness to be a process, especially in difficult times, right? So to imagine how quickly that could happen, people might have even wondered, was that authentic? Is that just a religious practice? Do they really mean that? Well, maybe one word can help explain. The word is called atonement. The definition of atonement is to reconcile with God through forgiveness. And so it is a bigger, atonement opens us up to a bigger understanding of forgiveness. You might think of atonement as saying you're sorry or making an apology, being on the other side of forgiveness, perhaps. And it is some of that, too. But it's also casting this big, wide net of understanding that why we forgive is to be reconciled with the divine, to be reconciled with our siblings, to be reconciled and made whole once again. So it was in that understanding, and when you think about the word atonement, what's in the word, right? The one is right there in the word, one. The notion of oneness is in the word itself. You could think of atonement as at-one-ment. And so when we recognize that, when we see that, we recognize that forgiveness, the practice of forgiveness, brings us back into that consciousness of oneness. Or ideally, our forgiveness springs forth out of that consciousness of oneness. And that oneness is oneness with life, right? All of life, all life forms, oneness with all humanity, oneness with spirit itself. At-one-ment, atonement. When we truly believe we are one, it's easier for us to forgive and reconcile with one another. The Amish astounded us with the immediacy in which they forgave, yes. And they did something else that helps us understand this bigger picture idea of forgiveness and atonement. And that is they took action. They showed up. They moved their feet. They showed up at the funeral. They not just showed up and sat passively, but they went up to the family and hugged them and offered money toward their fund and said and spoke their condolences. This was an action toward reparation, an action toward reconciliation. This is that bigger understanding of atonement and forgiveness together, the wholeness of what Spirit intends for us behind it all. With an understanding of that, we act in a different kind of way. We don't just forgive because it's the right thing to do. We forgive because there is a greater reconciliation going on of spirit, a greater reconciliation of all the parts coming together, a greater healing happening in the world because of our not only willingness to forgive in our minds or speak the forgiveness, but also to act. So it is in that acting that the Amish were also able to show us that their spiritual values could not possibly be derailed by any expectation of a response in kind, right? They weren't waiting. There were no conditions or no strings. They showed up and by showing up, by taking this action, opened the way for the Roberts family, and maybe Robert Soul himself, Charles Robert Soul, to receive some healing, to atone themselves. Without expectation, though, of course. Just by doing what their spiritual values, their spiritual practice, their community norms told them to do. But from not just from an outer space, but from a heart space, from a true space, from that knowing that that feeling, that action that comes from that kind of authenticity. So If you will consider for yourselves what's going on in your own life, maybe from long ago past or right now, maybe close your eyes for a moment and just drop into your heart and ask Spirit, is there anything or anyone that needs to be forgiven by me? It might be yourself, but just open up that space and see what Spirit gives to you. What needs to be forgiven? And even if something hasn't arisen, if you just hold the general idea of forgiveness and consider this for a moment, what if you followed the same pattern that the Amish set forth, and before you focused on your own healing, knowing that it will come in time, you instead took a step toward reparation, to repairing whatever it is with the other, a nudge toward atonement? What if your first action was to move toward instead of away from your so-called enemy? And what if your spiritual values could not possibly be derailed by the expectation that the other will respond in kind? Whenever you're ready to let go of that situation and know that you've activated that, so it's working in your heart now, and it may come clearer to you in the days ahead. The spirit of atonement, or at-one-ment, is really clearly displayed by the Dogari tribe of Africa that takes action when a member of the tribe commits any kind of wrongdoing. And that person is then put in the circle of the tribe, and the tribe circles about that person, and they don't admonish the person, they don't shame them for their actions. Instead, they uplift them. They remind that person of who they are in truth. They tell them about all their positive characteristics. They tell them about their contributions to the whole. Because they understand, it's absolutely clear and obvious to them that the only reason why somebody would commit acts of wrongdoing is because they've forgotten who they are. And so the tribe's job is to remind the lost members who they are. Imagine if we all had that as one of our cultural norms. What a world, right? The courtrooms would be empty. Because this, it's important to say, this doesn't erase the need for accountability and justice. But a lot of it would take care of itself if we were all committed to this idea of forgiveness and atonement, and reminding each other of the truth of who we are. Reminding each other of what we bring to the table, what we bring to the tribe, what we bring to life. Because we all do. We all have contributions, even when we lose our way. Even when the spark of light inside seems so tiny, there's still something being offered. And once it is given to, that light is given to, it expands once again. Because that's the nature of spirit. It's the nature of us. It's the nature of truth. So when we take this idea of this practice in mind that the Dogari do, and understanding that their whole process is done with more than forgiveness in mind, but in that bigger picture of the reparation of that individual's wholeness, the recognition in the mind and the heart of that person and in the tribe of their wholeness, of that person and the tribe's wholeness, a reconciliation of that individual who has stepped out back into the tribe, and a reconciliation with spirit. All of that is understood in this practice. Imagine if all of us, all around the world now, circled around an enormous circle of love and forgiveness and reparation and atonement. And we put into the middle of the circle a very little scared boy named Vladimir Putin. And we reminded him of the purity and the innocence inside of him. We reminded him that he is made of divine love like all of us. We reminded him of the truth, his part in the tribe of humanity, his part in his own Russian tribe, his part in the tribe of the whole region that he lives in, his part in all of life. And we did this because we understand that one lost member of the tribe needs to be brought back, right? Suddenly I'm remembering that story about the lamb that wanders, right? And they spend all day finding that lamb because it matters, right? To bring them back into the fold. And so it is our work here, not for military aid here in spiritual work. It is not for military aid, but mutual aid, which is the term that the Amish use for community support. The Amish know that we need mutual aid based on Galatians that says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we bear one another's burdens because we know, we understand, just like the Dagari understand, that the actions of wrongdoing happen out of pain. The actions of wrongdoing happen out of hurt and out of lostness. And so it is our work to bring those who are lost back into the fold, no matter the atrocity, and embrace and remind and lift up so that we all may breathe a sigh of relief, so that we all may be reconciled into harmony and love and truth. These are big callings in our spiritual work, aren't they? But we are all capable in this room, on the other side of that camera, outside, and all of our relations, capable of doing this. So the people, communities like the Dagari and the Amish, you know, if they had a creed, well, I'm sure they do have a creed, but if just viewing from the outside these simple examples, simple yet profound examples, I imagine that if they had a written creed about their community norm, it would be something like this. We practice forgiveness rooted in the conscious belief in oneness. Our practice paves the way for atonement, for reconciliation with one another and with the divine. We believe in restoring spiritual wholeness as soon as possible for the good of all. What if our families, our communities, our organizations, our cities, your family, the organizations you're a part of, our spiritual community, what if this was our cultural norm? We took immediate action as soon as possible because we knew the cost of not taking action toward reparation, toward reconciliation, toward atonement and forgiveness. Because we knew our oneness so well, so clearly, in the fabric and the cells of our being that we lived and breathed it. We didn't just speak it as a platitude. We understood it innately through our practice and our faith. So here's a few steps we can take for ourselves, whether it is personal forgiveness or something wider. That same practice that we took a few moments ago, just dropping into the heart and asking, searching, asking spirit, what should I be forgiving? Is there anyone, something, someone that I put outside of my heart that I could welcome back in? And let that come through spirit. It's a great practice to practice every day, at the end of the day, sort of wash away whatever little stuff has sort of accumulated through your day. And secondly, to, or maybe first, it's not necessarily in order, but acknowledge oneness with the other and with spirit. Acknowledge the oneness. And then forgive. Easy to say, right? There could be many steps to forgiveness. But forgiveness is a giving for, right? A giving for ourselves, a giving for the other, a giving for all, essentially. And we can give in a simplified way, safe passage through our mind. So when that idea of wrongdoing arises in our minds and our shoulders start hunching up and our heart starts constricting, we see the signs, we feel the signs, and we go, ah, I'm going to give that safe passage through my mind. And see how that changes everything and keeps our sanity. And then take the first action toward reparation. Be the one to take the first action. If you don't know what to do for the other, do something kind for someone around you. Take some, in the recognition of oneness, right? Take some kind of action that moves toward reparation and reconciliation, ideally with the person the situation is with or the people the situation is with. But if that doesn't feel possible yet, or for whatever reasons, take some kind of reparative action in the fabric of humanity. And know that by doing so, that we reconcile ourselves with spirit once again, over and over and over. Lord Byron said, the beginning of atonement is the sense of its necessity. As soon as we sense it, as soon as we understand this is a necessity for our world, for our healing, for our transformation, for ourselves, for the good of our families, for the good of our everything, right? For good of our world. It is by that necessity that we then begin the process. Jonas Baylor is an Amish man and the founder of the Family Resource and Counseling Center near Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. He said that because the Amish can express forgiveness and hold no grudges, they are better able to concentrate on their own healing. So that idea of take a step first, moved into forgiveness immediately, then allows them to retreat into their own healing process more freely. Years before that schoolhouse incident, Jonas and his wife Anne lost an infant to death. And he said that counseling saved their marriage. And because of that, he too wanted to become a counselor. I read recently that he's also now a minister. And he was studying, though, at that time, he was studying so much to be a counselor that there was no time to work and feed his family. And so Anne, out of desperation, started offering her hand-rolled pretzels at the local farmer's market. And they were such a big hit that you might have sampled them yourself. They're Auntie Anne's, an international franchise of hot pretzels that you'll find at airports and malls everywhere. And so that is through the process of these kinds of surprising prosperity stories that grow out of forgiveness, that grow out of atonement, that can then help us in our everyday lives. So anytime you see an Auntie Anne's now, let it be a reminder to you of this work of forgiveness, this work of atonement, of the reconciliation process to one another and to our God. Our journey of the season for peace and nonviolence and for Lent continues. Let's continue it with forgiveness and atonement, with a remembrance of the underlying oneness that we hold for all. No matter the earthly circumstance, we can be reconciled with one another and with the divine. The Amish of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, showed us the way. So let's affirm it together. Together, I forgive, aware of our oneness. We are reconciled with the divine. And so it is.